7, then you'll see that yellow area starts where we see a lot more growth in businesses. Now, this could be a farm business. It might also be a fertilizer business. It might be a hardware business in town. This is pretty much true of all businesses. And you'll see that next cycle, that yellow area there, tends to be where we see the growth. And part of that makes sense because we know that we're figuring out the rules of the game. We're understanding how to operate our business. We're learning, hopefully. Probably have gotten rid of a few folks that were not successful. That green area, we have a lot more drop out of that area than we would in the yellow. And then we get to the next section, which is the maturity section. This is the section that my business is entering in right now. I turned 60 in February, and I can feel a whole different perspective that I have now that I'm 60 than I had when I was 25. And the biggest area that I'm noticing is my attitude toward risk. We have a farm that's coming up for sale. I suspect it's going to cost between $8,000 and $10,000 an acre. It's just hard for me to get excited about that. I'm not sure I want to take that kind of risk and put everything that we've accomplished over the years and all the asset base that we've been able to get paid down at risk by tying on another one. My attitude toward risk has changed a lot. And I think as we get older, that tends to happen. And part of what happens as a result of that is, you know, the old axiom is that risk follows reward. So the person that takes the risk are usually the people that receive the rewards. If you never take any risks, you probably are not going to receive the big rewards. If you don't want any risks, and my son's a good example of that, he doesn't like to take risk. You know, he works for a salary. He gets paid so many dollars a month, he doesn't take the risk. But when we tend to get to a position in our business cycle where we're not taking risks anymore, we tend to probably quit growing. And how many of you know businesses that are on the backside of that are on that declining side? When I think of neighbors that are in that situation, you know, they're not replacing their breeding livestock like they used to. They're probably not going for the top AIs anymore. They're probably not replacing machinery. Maybe the barn needs paint. You know, they're kind of coasting out. They're just coasting. And I can feel that temptation to really do that. So the question is, what's going to happen to your business? Down the road, what's going to happen to your business? What are your desires? If you're the person that has the gold and you're going to make the rules, what rules are you going to make? One of the things that I'm going to suggest is that you might think about bringing a second generation into your business. Not everybody wants to do that, but if you do want to do that, a good time to do that is somewhere in that early maturing phase, late 50s, mid 60s. You know, if you've gone too far to where things are in decline, it's hard to get things fired back up again, but it's still possible. So if you want that second generation to get involved in the business, it's nice to see them be able to start out somewhere with some help from someone to have more success than they would have if they had to start out at ground zero. Okay, I need a show of hands again. How many of you started out with absolutely no help from anyone, pulled yourself up totally by your own bootstraps? There's always a few, and my hat's off to you. I can tell you it's tougher now than it was when you started to do the same thing. When I started, the first farm I bought was $48,000 for a quarter of land. That same quarter of land is going to be $1.5 million right now. I was able to borrow $48,000. I couldn't borrow $1.5 million now if I was a beginning farmer if my life depended on it. It's very much different rules of the game than what we had when we started. A couple more areas of research I just want to share with you. Iowa farmers, my colleague at Iowa State, John Baker, who I work with quite a bit, and Mike Duffy as well, they've done some research. They found that 2/3 of Iowa farmers never plan to fully retire. Does that matter? Over half of Nebraska farmers don't have a will. What happens if you don't have a will? In Nebraska, you will have heirs because if you die intestate, you die without a will. There's laws, and every state in the union has them, of what's going to happen to your assets. you will have heirs. Someone will own your assets. Will you have a business successor? Will you have someone that can take over your business and run with it? I'm going to suggest to you probably not. That's going to be really hard to do. So why don't we like the plan? Some are going to say it's too complicated. It is a bit complicated. It's a process. It takes some time. Some of us just don't like to plan. I would rather not have to plan. I'm the type of personality that would like to just get up and see which way the wind's blowing the day. But I can't do it. I just can't operate that way. And I can tell you that when you have to face your own mortality, when you're thinking about this, it's not all that much fun thinking about it. Someday I'm not going to be in the picture, and what I'm really planning for is when I'm out of the picture. How's that going to work out? So the question is, do you want a successor? That's up to you. Some are going to say yes, and some are going to say no. In my situation, if I don't have a successor, what's going to happen to me? I have three kids. I got a daughter in Detroit. I've got a son that just moved back, a home that has some potential to maybe take over part of our operation. And I have a daughter that lives in Omaha. She moved back from Houston. She's married to an attorney, and fortunately, that's not going to be a successor there. My daughter in Detroit's a chemical engineer. There's no successor there. My son may be partial successor. I've been working with an individual, a neighbor, that has some, I think there's some potential there that we might be able to work out. But if I don't find a successor for my business, what's going to happen? Someday when I'm out of the picture, the income from my operation is going to go three ways. Part of it's going to go to Detroit, part of it's going to go to my son, and part of it's going to go to Omaha. What's the consequence going to be for the community, for the local businesses, for the local schools, and the local churches? How many of you live in a town that's struggling to maintain its population? Let's see a show of hands of that. Yeah. Mine's the same way. Part of the reason is because we're not planning for successors. We're not trying to bring, we're not actively out there trying to bring someone back into your business. Now, it's a whole lot easier not to do that. In our part of the country, it's a whole lot easier to sell the farm and go buy a condo on the beach. There literally are people that have done well enough that they could just sell it and go buy a condo on the beach and move to Bermuda. It's a whole lot simpler to do that. But the unintended consequence is that look what happens to the community. Look what happens to your churches. Look what happens to your neighbors. Look what happens to the rest of the schools, et cetera, et cetera. So, is there going to be a successor? Big question. Think about it. If you don't think about it, what happens to me, what I found is I was visiting with a lady before we started, and what happens is that one day turns into the next. We're all busy. Everybody's got a full plate. My plate's really full. I've got four families to meet with in Ogallala tomorrow. I'm flying to Vegas on Sunday. I've got meetings in Vegas till Wednesday. We have our returning to the farm workshop next weekend. The next Sunday, I'm flying to Florida. I've got meetings in Florida the next week. I'm gone all the time. And I think all of us have full schedules. But what happens is that busy day-to-day turns into a night, and pretty soon it's the next day, and we do the same thing over. And that day turns into a week, and that week turns into a month, and that month turns into a year, and we look back, and where did the last 20 years go? And it's not that we're trying to create a situation that's not positive for our communities, but what happens is that we just simply do what we've been doing, and life goes on, and we look back, and where did all the time go? And I never got a plan done. I never got a plan done. If you are in a situation where you decide what you want to do is have a successor, then I submit that what you want to think about is doing a transfer plan. And I've got a few ideas here about that. If you're not interested in having a successor, all you need to do is have an estate plan. But I do think an estate plan is still worth doing. Letting the state of Nebraska decide who owns your assets is probably not going to turn out the way you want it. It might, but chances are it won't. This is kind of a schematic of how I think about it. The left hand, let's see, be your right hand side. We take the farm or the ranch, and if all we want to do is pass those assets to the next generation, all we have there is an estate plan, and that's pretty simple to do. But if we have an idea that we want a successor, I suggest